NBA University, which I've just started. I don't know if I follow that. I think I do follow them, Chris. They put out some good stuff. I don't know if they're mostly just on social media, but they put out a coaches challenges success rate. And it's one of those charts where it's basically it's in quadrants. It's like a quadrant graph type deal. And the higher it is, the higher, if you're above the line or the higher you are above the line, means you challenge more often. Obviously, below the line, you challenge less often. Unsuccessful means you're more to the left. Successful means you're more to the right. And the best coach, as far as challenges a lot and is always right, is Dagnall from the Thunder, who we saw a successful challenge when we faced the Thunder. On the left, but high up, is Mike Brown. He is the highest up, and as far as being the most left, so he challenges the most based on how often he gets it wrong.
Sure, feels like it. I mean, I know he's been a lot better with where he decides to call the challenges, but
yes.
I mean, especially at the start of the year, it was a lot of just. The first time anything was in doubt, Mike Brown was going to challenge. And it was just like, dude, this is not worth it at all. You get one of these things, and
there's
if it's wrong.
There's bad ones, man.
Yeah, there's like a science to it. And it's kind of, it's actually pretty surprising because I thought Mike Brown, I know his son works for the Niners. Like, I just thought Mike Brown watched more football. And I feel like you can learn a lot about just like the strategy of when to challenge by, I mean, looking how people do it in football. Not that everybody's great at it, but. There's definitely like a rhythm or a, I guess you could say a science to when to call the plays or when it's most advantageous for you. And it doesn't feel like Mike Brown has that kind of consulting. It feels like it's a lot of emotions. And I know they allow it to – it's not even Mike Brown's call, really, funny enough. It ends up – it's Luke Laux and the coaches on the back row that ultimately look at the play and tell Mike, hey, challenge, challenge, challenge. So – it's not really all on Mike Brown.
But aren't there some
times
where he just does it?
He definitely does it.
I do fear, out of his unsuccessful challenges, I wonder how many are at home. Because he can be a bit of a crowd pleaser, and when he gets out there and he gets on the court and he starts doing his finger and everyone starts cheering, let's go, let's go.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here real quick. I know the Kings will send us the Mike Brown's challenge history. I'm trying to see what his actual record is on the season for challenges. Because if I had to guess, it's pretty significantly under 500. Like, I would guess that he's probably, let's see, actually, he's 27-28 on the season.
Okay.
Which feels good, which looks good considering how it feels.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, opponents against the Kings are 25-17. So things have not gone in the Kings' favor at all.
I don't know what to
in
do
that
with
direction.
That.
Yeah, that feels like one of those random things where some teams get better than others do. But yeah, Mike Brown, he had a nice little streak, but really hasn't been too successful on his challenges here recently. And you know, ultimately, I kind of go back and forth on how much I want to care about it because it is kind of a small thing, but at the same time, it feels like one of those where. I don't want to say it's IQ test feels like a harsh terminology for it, but it feels like a thing of how composed are you? How much are you aware of the situation? And is this really the right time to do it? And more times than not, it does feel like Mike Brown doesn't call those challenges at the best time, though it's not every single time it's bad. But it also makes a lot of sense that Mark Dagnall would be one of the best coaches as he is one of the best young minds in the league right now.
Who do you think challenges the least? I know that's a loaded question. I'll give
probably
you
probably the Lakers. No. I would hope because they're getting all the calls anyway.
No, he's right. He's right in the middle. The hint I'll give you is that this coach, you talk about a great mind. Another guy who's considered a great basketball mind, and he's in the Eastern Conference.
Does it the least? Let's say
he's the least, and he's. Basically in the middle as far as successful, being successful or unaccessible. But he is way at the bottom as far as how much he challenges.
My mind is stuck on Tom Thibodeau because he doesn't believe in technology.
No,
I don't
know. He's above
the
line.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it Spoelstra?
It is Spoelstra.
Interesting.
Yep.
I wonder what that says about that. I mean, you know, maybe that's just a, hey, we play through it. Doesn't matter.
That's exactly what it says.
Probably playing through it. And he probably also is somebody who does what I would probably like Mike Brown to do, and that's pocket it until, like, it's much rather to, it's not really like a timeout. They always say, like, what's the point in having a timeout, ending the game, and having three timeouts stocked? You have timeouts, call them. I would much rather go into that last 2 minutes with the challenge in my pocket, if that makes sense, knowing that if the situation arose at the right time, I had the opportunity to use it, versus blowing it in the second or third quarter.
Or a foul out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, something that can actually help the result of the game is where you should keep your challenges. To me, like, a tipped, like, out of bounds in the third quarter, like, who cares?
Wagging
like
the finger.
A blocker charge for Keegan's second, like, who cares?
No, wag the finger.
It doesn't, like, is not changing the game, whereas you're going to feel real dumb if there is an out-of-bounds tip with 2 minutes, you can't challenge. Like, it's just always better to hold it and use it at a time where it can actually impact the result of the game than to just waste it and say, oh, well, you know, I felt like it would have been good for momentum. Like, that's not really super helpful in terms of the winning and losing of the game.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wag that finger.
You know, the problem is the players, honestly. It's all these fools, too. Oh, like, is not a single player who is innocent in the finger waving.
Not
everybody
one.
Instantly looks at, don't cut that. Don't cut that, Simone. I saw your face. I'm so glad Verlon didn't hear that. We're just gonna keep it pushing.
There needs to be a prop on finger wagging or finger circling during games. Over under.
I would say Draymond probably leads the league if I had to guess.
Draymond.
Well, he's not playing enough.
Yeah, so. There's Draymond. As far as the Kings are concerned,
I hear like Keon complains a lot.
Yeah, Keon, because he's trying to defend and do his thing. I feel like
Malik
was a big let's get that finger in the air.
Yeah. De'Aaron's actually pretty good at it, I will say. Like, he doesn't, of course, Sabonis is play through.
It's Sabonis.
Sabonis.
No, Sabonis does a lot of looking at the bench. Hey,
really?
Do we want
to? I'll have to be on the lookout.
Yeah, Sabonis definitely does, and he never gets acknowledged.
He's going to get hit every time. So he could literally, that could just be like his celebration as he runs down the floor.
Check that.
Check that.
That's what that'd
actually be a sick celebration.
If you hit a three and right in front of the bench,
run that back.
Hey, check that.
Yeah.
Check that one time. Well, hopefully there is some celebrating after tonight's game against the Pelicans. And Chris, when you talk about keys to the game, I think that the number one thing is Sabonis has to return to form. That has happen.
Yeah, we need a double-double. Sabonis needs to kill that Valanciunas matchup. He's one of the Kings' two All-NBA two All-Stars. He's got to play at that level. He's got to be great, and it's going to be on. I mean, it really obviously is on everybody, but you need to have a near 20-point at least performance from Sabonis tonight. You need to make sure Jonas Valanciunas doesn't get going at all. And he's going to be a big part of trying to stop Zion at the rim. You know, I know Sabonis has really loved his verticalities this year. He's been great at it. But Zion is a guy that you have to figure out how to, because Sabonis is really the only guy who can probably match him strength for strength, like literally body for body. Besides that, everybody's getting pinballed off Zion. So it's going to be big on Sabonis to challenge at the rim without fouling.
You have Sabonis averaging 15.5 points his last 10 games.
Okay, that's not great.
7.9 assists and 14 rebounds the last 10 games.
Slacking, 14? Jeez, come on, pick it up.
This is crazy. They've played the Pelicans. A lot of times when you look up the stats, I don't really pay attention to the matchups.
Yeah.
But they've played the Pelicans so many times. This is a legit thing here. So this should make you feel a little bit better, Chris. In four games against the Pelicans, Sabonis has averaged 19 points, 7.5 assists, but I think this is because of Valanciunas, only 10.5 rebounds.
Ooh, that is really interesting. And, you know, Valanciunas is really the picture-perfect center that you would draw up for those guys that we talk about that give Sabonis problems.
But he is averaging 19.
He is? Okay, well, that's good. That's great. I mean, that's because they need that. They're going to need his scoring tonight. But, you know, Valanciunas is a huge, huge dude who isn't a leaper, so he's going to stand his ground, and we've seen that a lot of the times that's where Sabonis struggles. I think Domas has the clear speed advantage over over a guy like Valanciunas, but he's an absolute bully, so you're not going to – this is not a Nurkic situation. You're not going to be able to throw him around in the same way. Valanciunas will definitely be a force down there. I think Sabonis should still have the advantage, but, you know, that is no joke of a matchup right there. And it's gonna be big on them to not let it frustrate him. I mean, Chet really got to him and threw off his entire game. The fact that Sabonis didn't get a double-double is incredible against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You would think that's one of the easiest opponents for him to get it done. So got to shake that off and really need a big performance tonight. I'm looking at Zion's numbers, too, against the Kings. 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. Nothing too crazy. It's felt a lot worse than that. I guess it's the 67% from the field. But
from the field?
From the field, 67%.
But they're all layups.
They are, which is why I believe that's also his highest percentage against any
opponent.
What's
Zion shoot from the free throw line? It can't be good.
Not well. No, he shoots.
Hack him.
He shoots 70%, 70.1% this season, and 69% for his career.
You are a Sacramento King.
Yeah, foul that dude. I mean, seriously, like,
come on, Pelican.
Would you not rather, like, just foul Zion and make him hit free throws than watch him take left-handed layups all day?
We haven't seen him in a bit, but I'm thinking if you got to waste fouls here, because we know who can't foul. Kesar Edwards, come on down.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's the only thing is you have to think of someone to pick up those fouls. Yeah. But Kessler's perfect.
Kessler. Duarte, is still on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Len even, like, you know, you don't have many. Like, he's going to get blown by, but be physical with him. Like, I think it's just however you can tire out Zion, man. Like, you know, he's the word is out, but he is definitely in really good shape right now. And, you know, it's gonna be tough to stay in front of him and deal with the physicality, but you've gotta make it tough, man, because he is not somebody who's used to playing this deep in the season and definitely not used to having this much of a workload on his shoulders. So I think the Kings' key for tonight is just make Zion exhausted. I want that boy sweating like he's at a buffet.
That's crazy.
Come on.
From a mid-rock on the Sack Chat, Duarte on Zion, LOL. No, not on. I'm just saying, if he's in the vicinity.
Just as a body.
Just hack him. Yeah. Just do whatever you can so it's not a lefty layup line like Allen Styles back in CYO.
Just think of like Scott Pollard on Shaq. It's just like he's just out. There's no illusion he's going to stop him.
Right.
He's just literally there to be in front of him and grab him.
Continuing the conversation, who needs to step up? Also, where could Bronny go? There are some projections that might surprise you or might not. TC, we see you. We'll get to you when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Instantly looks like, oh!
Yeah. Chris, you said the word is out. Well, the projections are out. There are going to be a couple here. And surprise, surprise, Bronny. Drafted to the Lakers.
What?
That's what I'm seeing.
Drafted here. Period is surprising.
Yeah, that is crazy. And
please,
you know,
tell
what,
me it's at least second round.
You know, this is from FanDuel Sportsbook. They have the best odds, so it's not a projection.
Okay, gotcha.
It's not a mock draft. It's just the
interesting
odds.
And Lakers have specifically the best odds. Drafting Bronny.
According to Overtime.
Wow. Okay. No, I'm not saying. It's just, I wonder if it
teams
was.
Teams to select. Now, what does select
I'm
mean?
Just trying. Yeah.
That's
I'm
a good
trying
point.
Trying to get ahead of it, you know?
What team will he go to?
Yeah.
Some of these comparisons are crazy, and I know people used to get on Michael Jordan's kids because I think they played D1, but didn't really do too much after that. But
well, it just, one of them did.
Well, okay. There's a lot to be said about, genes are genes. But some dudes are just aliens. And I don't know what's going to happen with Bryce James, LeBron's younger son. But
Bryce Maximus.
There you go. But you have Bronny, who's being compared to, I've seen Norris Cole. And the best guy we've seen. I know. The best,
that?
I know.
What that, is that called?
I don't know how. Basically, just say he shouldn't be in the league.
Like,
I don't know.
Hey, this guy's pro comp is Kessler Edwards. Like, Okay.
Okay, like, but on the higher end, I told you during the break that another comp I saw when I was reading was Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, sure.
And you and we both agreed that felt too good. But Quentin Grimes isn't very good.
No.
So what are we talking about?
I don't know. And also, like, those pro comps are usually always crazy. Like, it's like Evan Mobley's pro comp, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan.
Right.
So it's like if you're already projecting higher than what they're probably going to be, what is that saying?
What does that say?
If you're over, or if your exaggeration of Braun or Brawny is Quentin Grimes, then it's like, okay, so is he like a G League Quentin Grimes?
Right.
Like,
I don't know. We don't even know who Quentin yeah, Grimes' right, comp Quentin is. Grimes. So what are we talking about? Yeah, that'll. I'm excited just for the. You know, yeah, I love drama.
I just want to get an answer.
Yeah, you know I love drama, so I am excited about that. Also excited about tonight and who needs to step up. Real quick, Chris. On the Sack Chat, Amid Rock, he didn't ask a question, but when we were talking about the challenges and how obviously Mike Brown didn't have one in that Thunder game, I believe there was an unsuccessful one at one point. The travel call on SGA, is that something you can...
Non-call?
The non-call.
Yes, gotcha.
Is that something you can challenge or no? Because can you call a timeout and say, hey, I don't know that you can challenge that.
I think you could. I think you could challenge... Yeah. I think you could. I think the problem is... you can't challenge under 2 minutes. And so that would have to be a referee, an official review. And I don't think they can look at something if something isn't called, if that makes sense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was a no call. So Mike Brown can't say, hey, go.
Well, he couldn't do it because it was under 2 minutes.
Right.
If it were over 2 minutes, Mike Brown can definitely do it on anything. If it's under 2 minutes, then it has to just be a referee decision, and they can't challenge something or look at something that didn't have a call, if that makes sense. There would have to be a travel called, and then they can look at that to see if it was a travel. But since nothing was actually called, there's nothing to look at.
So if they had called the travel...
or an offensive foul, either one.
If they have called a travel... who makes the decision? Would it just be Dagnall in their ear? Hey, that's not a travel. And then they say, fine, we'll review it.
I think it
sometimes
comes
they
from
just
Secaucus.
Don't review. Sometimes
I believe it
they
comes
just
from
don't.
The league office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's how it's done.
Right. 916-339-1140. Let's go to TC. How he's feeling about tonight's game. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Hey, Alan Watkins, man. What's going on?
Man, Friday Eve. Just trying to make it. What you got?
Friday Eve, man, it's almost the weekend. The weekend starts tonight. Let's do it.
Let's do it
underneath the beam.
For sure. Hey, look, take it one game at a time. I got the Kings going undefeated, man, the rest of the season. And we just going, hey, let the chips main felt fall how they fall. If we got to get in 7-8, we got to get in 7-8. If we fall to 9-10, we got to get in how we got to get in. But we can't duck the smoke. If we're going to make this playoff run special, bro, we got to do it. As far as Domas, bro, I don't see why Domas is always struggling with this guy, Valančiūnas, and this is a dude that you play on the Lithuanian team, on the overseas ball, bro. So this is like one of the closest dudes you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why you can't beat this guy. But on the flip side, Alan, I get it. If you always with your homeboy, y'all always hooping together, y'all always going to know those little tweaks that's going to get you. Like, you know me, I know you, but I know how to get you, and I know what you don't like. So I get it, but at the same time, bro, you should be able to get this dude, bro, because you always around him. The team, as a team effort, we need to ball out, bro. I don't want to see 73s tonight, bro. I don't care if we coming out blazing. I don't want to see 17 from Fox. Fox, you shouldn't be taking no more than 7 threes a game. I don't give a damn how good you shot your three-pointer, how good is better. Bro, 7 is the max. Domas, if they leave you open, shoot the ball, bro. Mike, don't play with the rotations. Play the hot hands, big dog. That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, TC. I'm ready to suit up right now.
I know, I'm ready.
I'm trying to suit up.
Come on.
I went to physical therapy today.
I know,
I'm ready to go.
You're primed and ready, man.
I am ready to go. I want to bring this back around to the texter at the beginning of the show from the 530. And it's not dog segment yet. But Harrison Barnes, if there was ever a time, we choose you, Pikachu.
Man.
We choose you, Harrison. We don't ask for much. Can you give me 15? Give me 15
Please.
Timely buckets.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Excuse me, points. 15. I'll take 15 timely buckets. 15 timely points. That's all. Don't make me grab the big head again, because I'll grab the big head again. Where is Harrison? We will find him tonight, please, Chris. Please.
Yeah, we could use him. We could definitely use him. Yeah, not to step on the dog segment early, but definitely, like, HB is going to be a big key to tonight, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure they're going to put Zion on HB, and HB's just got to run, man. You got to work that dude. You cannot let him chill in the paint. You can't let him be a factor. You need to get that fool moving. Treat him like he's James Harden, and really, I mean, I think it'll do you really well in the long run, even if, you know, it's one of those things where you just keep chopping away. Mm-hmm. Keep chopping that wood. At some point in the fourth quarter, that work is going to pay off. He might go off in the first couple quarters, whatever, let him eat. Just make him work for it, and then come fourth quarter time, that's when you guys are going to step up, because Zion is a huge force for them in that fourth quarter, especially down the stretch. They just run him at the rim like a freaking bulldozer. And, I mean, nobody wants to get in front of him. Like, no. It makes sense. And, you know, you just got to prevent yourself being in the situation that you were in against OKC, not necessarily the 19-point loss. Definitely don't do – or the 19-point lead that you had that you lost. Not that part. You don't want to be in a close game tonight. You need – and that's – you know, we had the caller call in earlier and say, you know, I want them to stop shooting threes when they're up 19. They unfortunately might do that tonight, because I think the goal is going to be to try and win big. And if they get up big, step on that foot, because you have here's the thing, you got another huge game tomorrow. I mean, you have to win tonight mm-hmm. in order for tomorrow to be as big as it can be, but you've got another really big game tomorrow. So if you have an opportunity to blow this thing open, I know that opportunity has not presented itself. But at the same time, I mean, if it's there, you got to take it.
And can somebody take – I know there was a chart. They got the charge called on them, or they took a charge against the Thunder. But can you take real charges, please. Chris? Am I tripping when I watch them take a charge? They look a little scared when they take the charges, the Kings. Just stand there. They're like, eh.
I mean, you're not going to take a charge against Zion.
No, well, you need to. How bad do you want to stay out of the 9-10?
You got to be able to play tomorrow.
Speaking of injury updates when we return, Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports. Who needs to step up tonight? My pick, Harrison Barnes. Chris concurs, okay? It's got to happen. It's also, I think we landed on Harrison and Sabonis. And Sabonis is normally a usual suspect.
Right.
And he's gotten his points against Valanciunas, but the rebounds haven't been there. The one thing, and I feel like we're pretty hard on Keegan Murray, he's been grabbing those rebounds.
Yeah. Keegan, what, he got 10 last game?
Yeah. And, okay, a day like today where Valanciunas might maybe take Sabonis out of it a bit, we're going to need that from you, Keegan. Yep. But we always need a lot from Keegan. You can always count on Steven to have some things to say. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Not much, boys. How you guys doing today, man?
We are surviving and thriving.
It is Friday Eve. So,
that's right.
I mean, you can't complain about that. You mm-hmm. know, we got the weekend already. We're looking at it. So, anyway, man, APB out on Harrison Barnes. Where are you, my guy? You need to show up tonight. You're the veteran. You know, we signed you to be the veteran on the team, to mm-hmm. be that presence. We don't need you to be telling people to no longer jump to save your knees, because we're a crappy team. We're now winning. We're now on the up and up. Where have you been?
Yeah.
We need you. We've been needing you. Plus, I saw a comp on Bronny James, not to get too much into the weeds here, but I saw a comp on Bronny James where Davion Mitchell was thrown as a comp for him. And
is that?
Wait.
Yeah.
Guys, Davion Mitchell? Davion. Not Donovan. Davion. Davion Mitchell. I'm baffled, boys. I'm baffled. Harrison Barnes, show up, baby. Let's go.
Thanks for the call, Steven.
Yeah, I got to look that up.
But that makes sense. It's just smaller guards.
But is Bronny that small?
Bronny's 6'2".
I have no idea.
I think they have him at 6'3", maybe. 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
But that's just telling me he's not ready. All this is telling me is that he's not ready.
No.
And I guess he's going to continue to develop. As far as Harrison Barnes is concerned, yeah. I mean, we know we're not asking. You got three more games, Harrison. Could be your last three games as the Sacramento King. We have no clue. We just don't have any clue about anybody going into the offseason. How do you want to be remembered, Harrison?
Right.
How do you want to be remembered? Chris, not that we want to talk playing, and after tonight we might have to.
Yeah, might have to learn how to speak playing.
916 is already in that mindset. The worst play-in scenario in terms of matchups for the Kings is blank, and they want us to fill in the blank.
The worst?
Well, besides being 9-10, obviously that's the worst. But if you want to go just worst, would be 10.
Right, of course.
10, yeah. And it's just basically it's about who. Who?
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of already know who the who would be, right? Like, it's more than likely, I mean, if the Kings lose tonight, it is going to be one of Phoenix, Lakers, or Golden State that the Kings will play.
Where, we don't know. Who, where, we don't know, but we know.
I think my answer could be, we're already living in it, buddy, because I think that that's probably, I mean, you know, maybe you could say New Orleans, especially if the Kings lose to them for a fifth time tonight, having to play them a sixth time wouldn't be great, but having to play KD and Devin Booker with Bradley Beal or LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or, hey, you can play the 10 seed if you'd like. That's Steph Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson. You know, none of those are really great options, and they all definitely have their disadvantages, and I think each one has their own advantages as well. They're all pretty equally – I don't know if any of – like I think I feel – equally about the Kings' chances in all of those, and those are all
pretty good.
No, I really do. Like, I seriously do. I mean, like, what? Why? Like, I can give you the reason. The Suns, the Kings have played the Suns well all year. They just choked two games against them. The Lakers, the Kings have killed the Lakers. They swept them this year, but they still have LeBron and AD. The Warriors, the Kings literally have played the Warriors 105 times in the past 2 years. That's a team that you're not afraid of. You know what it is. It doesn't matter if you're home or road. Mm-hmm. You know how that story goes. Like, all of those opponents have really good reasonings for why the Kings could beat them. But, of course, the big negative is going to be the big names.
Let's assume the Pelicans get six, okay? Because I think it's a better chance of the Pelicans getting six than the Suns. Would you agree?
Yes, okay.
So let's do Suns, Lakers, Warriors. And it's hard because, the whole 9-10 thing, obviously. But let's just simplify this and say to end your season, who do you not want to see home? Let's just do it at home to make it easier. Chris, you know what I'm going to say. You know. Don't make me say it.
What, Golden State?
I don't want to see them.
Why not?
I don't.
Why?
Maybe it's a personal thing for me. Because, you know, I got to deal with people talking trash and things like that. But even just on the basketball court, Golden State, I feel like the Lakers would have to talk themselves. I feel like the Lakers would and Laker fans would have to talk themselves into, we'll finally get the Kings this time. No Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter. But you have not beaten the Kings. So you got that over them. The Suns have, they snuck away with the game. The Suns are just a mess. And you never know what you're going to get. But you never know what you're going to get. And I feel like and you haven't been very high on the Suns either throughout the season. But the Warriors, with how the season ended last season, I think the Warriors would be like, this is a comfortable space for us to do what we need to do. And I don't like when dudes feel comfortable.
Sure.
They would feel the most comfortable against the Kings. And that's what I don't like.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. I
don't like it.
I mean, I would probably say Phoenix. Like, Phoenix to me has the most talent of all of those teams. Like,
but we've been saying that all season, though.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors are the 10 seed. So, I mean, you know, they haven't really lived up to their end of the prophecy either. So, I think, I think Phoenix has factually played the best in terms of record, but. Mm-hmm. I think KD's probably got the best mismatch advantage over everybody else. Like, I think LeBron has definitely dominated the Kings, but I feel like KD, the Kings just have absolutely no answer for.
No.
Devin Booker in a shootout, I don't want that. I know I just made fun of him yesterday for going 1 of 11, but that's probably not going to happen again. I can talk myself into all of these teams being real issues. It's just Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix has played the best of all of those teams, so I feel like they're the most dangerous, forgetting, you know, that they've also under They haven't lived up to expectations.
Well, and they are fully loaded right now. Last night when they played, the G League Clippers. Yeah. Who the Clippers actually hung around. Bones Highland. Interested in a Bones Highland?
No, I'm not. I am not. And anyone who is, no thanks. No thanks.
Kevin Durant, 24 points. This is last night. Royce O'Neal, 15 points. Devin Booker, 37.
Oof.
Bradley Beal, 26. So it's funny that we don't even talk about Bradley Beal anymore because you never know. Honestly, I got to check to see if he played or not before we speak on it. You got Grayson Allen
with 6, sure.
Eric Gordon with 11. I hear you, but it's just the demons. But
you don't want that Grayson Allen smoke.
No, I would take the Grayson Allen smoke instead of the Warriors smoke. They're playing well, the Warriors.
Maybe it's just the personal. I'm just not. I've seen them play that team too many times. I'm not afraid of them.
But Andrew Wiggins has figured it out. They lost Chris Paul and GP2 in that play-in game. Yep. Okay. There's no right answer.
I mean,
That's why we don't want to be in the play-in.
Exactly. I don't think that there's any good answer. Like I said, I mean, I feel about 55% on all of those games. I think the Kings have the advantage. I think they have it in them to win those games. But at the same time, again, all of those teams have things working in their favor that it wouldn't be crazy at all. Not least to mention the fact that all of those are significantly better for the NBA itself to have in the in the playoffs than the Kings. I mean, that's honestly the last thing that I'm thinking about, but it still is a very major part of it all. So this is the play-in, like you said. I mean, there's no good situations to lay out in the play-in. It's all screwed. It's all wacky. And, you know, I think and I'm not saying this just because the Kings are in it. I hate the play-in. I really don't like it. I think, and I heard this kind of stemmed from this morning. Sam Amick was on with the guys, and he kind of said, like, you know, the Athletic always releases a player survey, which is excellent. And I think he said it's coming out next week, where they ask players and anonymously they give their answers. And there was mixed reviews on how guys felt about the play-in. I think more so on the side of 8 make it. If you're short of that 8, too bad, good season. That's just how it works. Because frankly, like, this mix, like, I don't feel like if the Kings end up being the 9 seed, it feels weird that they still have a shot of making, like, it's great. I mean, it's obviously awesome for fan interest and keeping you engaged, but ultimately, like, would you say that the Kings have deserved a playoff spot if they end up falling to the 9?
No, it's just weird. And Adam Silver, I mean, I think Adam Silver does a pretty good job in general, but it is funny. I mean, you're doing two different things as we discussed, right? You're adding the in-season tournament because you know that there's an issue with the urgency of the regular season. Then you add a play-in, which, it gives you some cool matchups, but then you add a play-in, which lessens the urgency of
that's
the regular
season.
That's
true, right. Actually, that's
so
a great point.
So what is
it
actually that you're trying to accomplish? Will, we know what he's usually trying to accomplish. We talked to Will when we return. Also, injury updates and playoff player tiers from The Athletic. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Some of the injury updates. No Brandon Ingram tonight. Thank goodness. Goodness.
That's a big help.
You just take anything, Chris, at this point. You're just honestly taking anything against a team that has just truly, truly had the Kings number. And, you know, I was surprised that there was no Sasha last game, especially when they went ice cold. I feel like you'll see Sasha today.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes sense. I mean, especially like the more and more I think about it, the fact that the team that OKC was packing the paint and you don't really throw Sasha out there. I mean, you know, if you're going to get open looks from the perimeter, you know, we've talked about it before. The Kings, before they had that free throw list, which, by the way, we haven't seen or heard anything about that free throw chart
shot better
since they put it up. But before that was up, they used to have the results of their shooting drill up there. And Sasha Vezenkov was number one in their shooting drill. And I think they even said that Sasha had broken team records in that shooting drill. So it would make sense to me that if you're getting open looks and you're just not getting anything from the perimeter, you should probably throw your best perimeter option out there. And for what it's worth, I think Keon Ellis actually finished second in all of those shooting drills. So definitely want to see more of what we saw from Keon last game. If you have the ability to hit eight threes in a game, to me, that doesn't just happen, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's a great point. Because I don't know if maybe you just relate defense to being a non-shooter, and maybe it's because of having somebody like a Davion, you just kind of throw them all. Okay, scrappy defending point guards that we're hoping that they shoot
34-35%. Yes, but you're hoping
to be
better.
Clear, in the G League, and Keon Ellis is a shooter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, is a shooter,
Yes, yes, he is a true 3-and-D guy. He might not dice you in the lane like Davion can, but he can shoot the three ball. So we should not expect eight threes. And he didn't. When he banked in that three, I thought, if they don't win this game, man, because you cannot waste situations like this. And that's exactly what happened.
That sure is exactly.
You have Keon Ellis as a shooter. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
What's up, man? Look, I ain't trying to disrespect nobody. And, you know, you guys don't disrespect the fans because we all know the game. Look, you guys spend a lot of time, and then Coach Brown spent a lot of time talking about offense, spray the ball, and all that kind of BS. The Kings don't play no D, man. That's the bottom line. You up 20 points, you got to defend the basketball. I mean, and then tonight, you know, how many games have we had 20-point leads and lost? You know, it just ain't the light. You guys are saying, we got to win tonight. We should have won the last game. How many times have we said that?
Yeah, a lot.
And then, let me tell you something, man. Zion might get 50 tonight. Man, look, HB is done. I told you guys that last year when PJ Washington was available, Christian Woods was available, and the GM didn't make a move. And we still got HB. I mean, we like him as a human being. We love him. He's a good guy, but he can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. He can't stop any small forward or any power forward with athleticism in the league. So we hope he scores some points to kind of cancel Zion out. But he ain't going to be able to stop Zion. He's going to get dunked on so many times. Man, Zion dunked on everybody. Dunked on everybody. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way that who ain't going to be able to stay with him. You know, I just wanted to say that. Hope we win. I'm praying we win, but I don't know, man.
Thanks for the call.
That really sums it up.
Is that
right
basically
there.
Sacramento?
No, that really sums it up right there. I hope we win. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't know if it's going to actually happen.
I'm not too sure about that right one. I mean, yeah. Well, that's why I'm thinking you just can't have – I'm just trying to figure out, and as a lefty that really didn't have much of a right hand, I think the idea of quote-unquote making somebody go right is much easier to say in theory than it is in practice.
Absolutely.
Because you know how to find a way to get back to your left. And you combine that with Zion's power.
Yeah.
It's not even an HB. He does it to everybody, to Will's point. I'm going to sit there, Chris, sitting next to you, and it's going to happen. I'm going to say, make him go right, even though I'm saying this on the air, understanding it is much harder than just, you know, in pickup, right? When the guy, he's left-handed. And then the defender shifts and drops his back left leg so that now you have to go to the right side.
That's me.
And nobody, it never works.
Oh, you're just not doing it right.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Well, try doing it against Zion. Gotcha. That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, you know, we can take it to the court right now. I'll take the PT.
Yeah,
I'll get back to
PT
my left.
I'll take the PT, Allen, for sure.
There has to be a way. And the other thing we talked about was, hey, drop back. Zion doesn't have much of a jump shot since his debut when he made four threes, which was hilarious, by the way. If you drop back, he's just going to see red like
a
bull.
And
that, if you're not ready to take a charge.
Right.
And Zion, let's give him credit. He is able to manipulate his body.
Yeah, he's a crafty
finisher.
He's
not going to just bulldoze into you and you're going to take a charge. You can say, all right, I'm going to go back, and if he comes this way, he'll find ways around you. So it's not that simple, but you got to find a way to do something. And I just read off the box score, albeit against the Blazers. Zion in the low mid-20s, and then you have CJ McCollum get into the 30s. That's where I'm thinking, okay, if I'm not mistaken, maybe one of the times, I don't know how much CJ saw Keon, right? So if Keon eliminate CJ and
CJ's been a problem.
Yeah, keep him cool because you passed on him.
Yeah,
keep him cool. Then it's just all Zion. And I know that actually the leading scorer was Trey Murphy. So if that happens again, you just tip your cap.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to, right? Like, if you stop Zion or slow down Zion and CJ and they still find out how to win, then it's really just like, man, you know what? I hate this team. There's nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. Let's just never play them again. They just they own you at that point. And, you know, that still very much can happen. I think they just showed it where we got ESPN on NBA TV here, or NBA Today on in the background, and they were just doing the breakdown on Zion. Second most points in the paint in the entire NBA behind only Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like you said, I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. Everyone knows what Zion's trying to do. Everyone knows what Giannis is trying to do. It's a whole nother task to actually step in front and try and stop him, because you just don't understand how fast he is, how big he is, how strong he is until he's right in front of you. And then you realize, wait, how is this dude who's so big, so fast, so strong, able to leap at the, you know, and reach the points in which he's able to reach? It's what made him so spectacular in college and as a prospect. And, you know, you're starting to see it. And I think the big thing, too, you mentioned him around the rim. He's not like Sabonis. Like you mentioned his ability to kind of navigate his body. He's got some touch, as we were talking about. You know, is touch something that can be taught or learned, or is it something you just have? Zion just has it. Even though he's got the ability to run 100 miles per hour right at the rim and, you know, be turned around and 12 feet in the air, he still manages to have a really feathery, soft touch. And that's what makes him so dangerous, is even if you, you know, stop him from getting all the way to the rim, he's got a nice little floater game, or he's already so high up that he can just drop it right in there. He's a like almost an impossible guy to guard. I don't know, like, who would even be, let's try and draw up the perfect person to guard Zion. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it would look like. Like, because you would probably,
in his prime.
That's exactly, like, you would probably have to size up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you would have to say, yeah, like a LeBron, really, like a Morris twin or something, because you can't be afraid of the physicality either. And that's another thing that's advantage Zion, is we talk about how soft this team is, and Sabonis definitely isn't soft at all, but Zion's going to take it right to you every time. And if Keegan's guarding Zion, somebody better be running right over, because he's going to get run over.
Yeah, it can't be. I honestly think we might see Kessler today.
And
just because of bodies.
Yep.
I'm not saying Kessler's the Zion stopper.
No.
I just think you're going to throw as many bodies as you can at Zion all night long. When we return, The Athletic has playoff player tiers. Where do the Kings players fall? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.